I'd like to call this meeting to order. It looks like we have a full board here today. Let me just lay out a couple rules of engagement here. Members of the public who wish to address the commission must fill out a speaker form, please. You will be limited to 3 minutes each. We will have collective testimony by those who support or oppose. Shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes each side. Non-agenda items will be heard at the beginning of each meeting. Those who wish to address the board about a topic that is not on the agenda must also fill out a white speaker form. Members of the public may also have request to have an item pulled from the agenda as well. Those who wish to speak in opposition must complete out a pink-colored form, and those in favor must fill out a gold-colored form. Okay, with that, let me welcome two new board members to the Housing Commission Board. First of all, to my right is Tim Walsh. Tim is the Chief of Staff to a member of Congress. And Stephanie Benvenuto. Thank you. It's almost as bad as her tassel. She's a public policy manager with the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce. And welcome to you both. I've had a chance to speak with you both a little bit about this organization, and we're looking forward to you both serving here with us. That's the great news. The sad news is that as we welcome Tim and Stephanie to the board, means that we are also saying goodbye to two long-serving members of this board. Bobby Grambling. Gary Grambling and Bobby Spoon. And I'd like to recognize them both this morning for their long-term dedication to the organization. First of all, to Bobby Spoon, 7 years on the board, including serving as the former vice chair from 2011 to January of this year. Her contributions to this organization are numerous. For example, 3 years ago, she recommended adding emphasis on cost affordability as an objective to our strategic plan. This reinforced the importance of this issue to our board and was essential in the creation of our report, Addressing the Housing Affordability Crisis, an Action Plan for San Diego. That plan still today is talked about a lot, something that Bobby had a great deal her hand in initially in getting that completed. In addition to her financial acumen and leadership skills, she was invaluable to this agency through her years of distinguished service. She's a CPA, folks, and she was especially valued with her involvement in our agency's annual budget. She took note. She goes, I want to stick around today to watch at least you guys adopt that budget. Her hands were in that budget constantly, and that was a huge contribution to this organization. She served 6 years on this organization's audit committee, working closely with our financial services department, which has received recognition from our Government Finance Officers Association for 8 consecutive years. I know she's real good friends with the folks in that department because she worked very closely and spent a lot of time with them. Bobby, I want to thank you for your years of service of this organization. Your contributions will be felt for many years to come. In a second, I will ask you to come forward to present with a plaque. But let me first also say that Gary Grambling has had a long commitment to this organization, serving 8 years and 7 years of those as chairman of this organization. He was instrumental in developing the agency-wide strategic plans, which led to our housing affordability report, as well as the creation of the Housing First San Diego, our homeless action plan. His commitment to creating permanent supportive housing to help homeless San Diegans, including veterans, has been invaluable to this organization. He shared his expertise on the board's real estate committee. Gary's a professional in the real estate industry with many years in his own right, and he brought that expertise to this organization, and that proved invaluable. Just this past year, for his exceptional service, he was recognized with the prestigious Elizabeth B. Wells Memorial Award from NARO, the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials. That is a big, big deal, folks. Nationally recognized for his contributions to this organization. Gary, thank you so much for what you've done for this organization. Your contributions were numerous. I remember very clearly you mentioning that before each meeting, you would make sure that you had a drive-by of the properties that we were considering on the following agenda to make sure that you had a good understanding of what we were dealing with and what the property was all about. Thank you both for your contributions to this organization. Your impacts will be felt for many years to come. If you could just come forward, please, I'd like to present you a plaque.
Congratulate the new board members. You're going to find this a very rewarding experience, and you can rest assured that the staff reports are excellent. You really don't need to get down into the weeds. You just need to watch out for this guy. I think you're just so well positioned. These are going to be very exciting years here. You've got the political will rolling in the right direction. You've got all the staff.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I'm impressed you spelled the name correctly. Thank you. Also, I'd like to ask my wife to stand up and just be recognized now because of her 8 years of support and encouragement, helping me to keep going forward. Salas, who was the previous chair, didn't really want to give it up either. And so when he came in, I was telling Frank about this briefly a moment ago. When he came in and sat down in the chair's chair. And I had to literally push him. Rick asked me about a month ago, he said, are you going to do that or are you going to come in and sit down in the chair's chair and make Frank have to push you out? I said, no. I don't know what I'm going to do, but that's not the chair that I want to take. You kind of look at me. And the reason is, you want to go where the real power is. Okay. And the chair's got power. And the CEO's got power. But the real chair is I want to take Angie's seat. Others who are Members of the public come here. Martha's over there. And what I can tell you is that we always need to keep our ears open to the public. Thank you. I'm going to shut up.
We still have your telephone
number. I, too, this morning was mentioning to Commissioner Walsh about this organization and how it's recognized nationally. And it's due in large part to the contributions that those two ex-commissioners provided to this organization. So, again, thank you both very much for all your contributions and for being here today to allow us to recognize you. We're going to miss you both. Okay, moving on from that, let me just report on a groundbreaking ceremony for the COM 22 project that we participated in on April 26th. Rick Gentry and Debbie Ruane were joined by Councilmember David Alvarez for the San Diego Habitat for Humanity to commemorate the groundbreaking of the COM 22 community in Logan Heights. This development will create 11 for-sale townhouses in the low-income first-time home buyers program in Logan Heights. It's a totally new product and great model, and we're excited about that. They will be for families that earn 50 to 80% of the San Diego area's median income, which is currently between $42,500 and $68,000 a year for a family of four. So they'll be very, very valuable for those folks. We will provide loans up to $70,000 each for 11 families through this first-time home buyer program. These are 3% interest loans with deferred payments as long as they still own the property and are living there. These funds come from the U.S. Department of Housing Home Investment Partnership Programs. Their funds are awarded to the city and administered by this organization here. They'll be a great complement, these townhomes, to the affordable rental apartments that opened 2 years ago at the COM 22 project now. That project, that property is maturing very, very, very well. So this Habitat for Humanity development will be right adjacent to that development. So with that, let me ask if any commissioners have any comments that they'd like to offer at this point. Seeing none, we will go to the report by the President and Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Gentry?
Yes, sir. I have half a dozen brief items for the board. First of all, I'd like to add my words of respect and thanks as well to both Bobby Spoon and Gary Grambling. Bobby Spoon came on this board in January of 2010, and there's no one who has done more to ensure the financial health and integrity of this organization than has Bobby Spoon. And our financial stability has more to do with her than anybody else here. And for that, Bobby, I thank you. I know, but since I've had one course in math since high school, you're the ones I need to make them behave themselves. So, as Tracy says, they're trying, but thank you very much. And I think you know what I mean. For Gary Grambling, he came on board in February of 2009 and fended off an attack on me and this organization in the open board meeting before he ever really got to know me. He told me later if he'd gotten to know me first, he wouldn't have fended off the attack. But there's not been a stronger, better leader in my career than Gary Grambling. And Gary, thank you for that. It means a lot. Thank you both. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to shift gears and talk about Washington, D.C. On April the 20th, 2 weeks ago yesterday, I was honored to set up and introduce and join a panel discussion in D.C. that included HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson. This was at the annual Movement to Work conference that this organization, the San Diego Housing Commission, has put on for the last 3 years. And I'll point out the Suket Dayal. I don't see him in the room. There you are, hiding in the back as usual, was the person who put this conference together. But the secretary joined us heavily because he agrees with the principles that embody the Moving to Work experiment. And as those of you may recall, that's 39 out of the 3,000 agencies in this country who have been granted special disposition to create new and innovative ways to do our business. The panel included not only the secretary and me, but also the CEOs of housing commissions and agencies in Seattle, Charlotte, and Minneapolis. And I've been told my staff has a short video of that Angie photographed off her iPhone. I have not seen this, but I think we need to see the video and see what happened that day. Yeah, Dr. Carson, before moving to work, I used to call myself one of the best East German business managers you've ever seen. Take a top-down, command and control, one-size-fits-all program that's got opera cheeks top to bottom telling me exactly how to make it work, whether I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, where I started, or San Diego, where I am now. What moving to work does is to turn that on its head. And it takes this one-size-fits-all program, which exists in an otherwise bottom-up capitalist world, and creates inverted values, both for our residents and for our organizations, where you get punished for good behavior, rewarded for bad. And that happens for us as organizations, and has for the 45 years I've been in this business, and has a trickle-down effect on our residents, too. So that we people punished for doing the right things and rewarded for doing the wrong things. And it's endemic to the structure of these programs. To leave a lasting effect and real program reform is there now not to do just another 100 movement work agencies, but indeed 1,000, or perhaps the entire country, like Congressman McCarthy in Bakersfield wants to do with his proposed legislation a year ago. So I think, as everyone up here has said and will be attested to throughout this room, we have the years, the mileage, and we have the expertise, and we would like to offer you an honest, sincere offer of help. Let us help you help us help our residents. And we're there for you anytime you need us. Thank you. That sounds, Andy, you're a good video producer. That worked out pretty good. I'll point out that I got a call from the secretary's office 2 days ago, asking me to put together a series of quarterly meetings going forward with representatives from the Moving to Work part of this industry. First meeting will be in early June. I've got a call with her leadership Monday to set up exactly who it's going to be, but it will include me. And that reflects the good work and the good policy that this organization has set forward over the last 8 years. Not the least of which are these two individuals and the rest of this board here. So thank you all very much. The credibility I have in D.C. rests with the policy set with this board and the good work done with the staff here. I'm simply the spokesperson, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
You did a good job, Angie. Thank you. A couple of other brief reports, Mr. Chairman, before we go forward. I'd like to point out that over the last year or so, it was about 14 months actually, one of our signature programs here has been the Housing Our Heroes program, announced by the mayor early last year, which we kicked off on March the 1st in 2016, where we targeted serving 1,000 veterans, formerly homeless veterans. And I want to point out that as of May the 4th, we have issued commitments of support to all 1,000 of those veterans that we had targeted. 680 are actually housed. The other 320 have been issued commitments. And it's just a matter of time. Melissa tells me probably July the 1st, I'm hedging that to September the 1st, but sometime mid to late summer, we're going to have that program concluded, and it will be within the time period that we expected. But Melissa, for you, for Jeff, and for Zane and all of you making that program work, thank you very much. Because, as you all well know, the point in time count for the homeless count that occurred in January was announced also on April the 20th, the same day I was in D.C. with the secretary, and our homeless numbers keep going up despite our best efforts otherwise. The count this year exceeded 9,000, which means that we're going to need to be redoubling and retripling our efforts going forward, despite all the good work that this agency and others are doing throughout the city. That program continues, that problem continues to grow. One other signature program dealing with the homeless, I'd like to point out, received an award this week, and I'd like to thank Commissioner Moraga especially for this one, and that is our Guardian Scholars Program, which was announced in December of 2015, where this agency has targeted 100 of our vouchers to former foster care students at San Diego State, was honored this week with an award at San Diego State. It was a 2017 Student Affairs Staff Award, was presented Wednesday to the San Diego University staff who worked with us on this Guardian Scholars Program. It was presented also to the Housing Commission with a notice of outstanding student affairs collaboration. This program was put together chiefly because of you. And I want to thank you for that. And it's serving 100 kids right now who would not otherwise be served. Thank you. Also, Mr. Chairman, in closing, let me point out, and again, this goes back to Tracy and the fine work we do in our finance department, as well as Jeff Davis, Debbie Ruane, and the leadership of the whole organization. If you all may remember, we received our first Standard & Poor's rating about a year after I got here in 2009. It's been reaffirmed every year since. And we are still affirmed as a AA credit rating, which is the highest possible in this line of work. What was cited was the Housing Commission's very strong overall strategy and management and our very strong financial profile. The only ding is that we're so dependent on the federal government, which is kind of endemic to the business. You know, former Chairman Gramley shrugging, you know, that kind of goes with the show. But I think it reflects the fine shape this organization is in, and my thanks again to everyone involved. And, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Let me just underscore on one of the items that you reported on this morning, the Housing Our Heroes program. Melissa, the work that you've been doing there is outstanding. In today's rental market, to be able to get the landlords to cooperate, to be able to house 1,000 homeless veterans is a huge, huge accomplishment. So congratulations to you on the work you're doing there. I glossed over the public comment, which I shouldn't have, but we do have one speaker slip that wishing to address the commission, and this is by Martha Welsh. Martha, please.
Martha Welsh, I'm here to talk about affordability. You'll never have it to have AMA. Parks down on 14th, they have a building that's only six, seven, and seven. But you know what happened? AMI. I can't do that because I don't have money. But I can pay the rent, but I can't get in. That's what you do. It's a gate. And your only county in the whole state and in the USA does this. And it's a gate to me. Atmosphere, same thing. It's got a gate. I can't get in because I can afford the rent, but I can't get in. That's what's going on. And like now, Sandy Square used to be HUD. Now it's Section 8, something like that right now over there. So it's hard if I'm a person like I want an apartment, but I can't do it because you can't get anywhere because everything is like that, and it's crazy what you do. I talked to an owner got someone else came here from Section 8 here, and you know what? The county wouldn't pay him. So he had to get out because this county doesn't pay the Section 8 to the owners. He told me this on a meeting. He told me all about this. So I know that this is all saving heroes. I know somebody, New Palace, was already living there, and they got that program. So how does it work? I don't know. You don't go on the dishes and see what goes on like I do. You know, right now the building you do is crazy. Look at 2830 Park down there. It's an L. The building right next to it is so close to it, like this, there'll be no air for the backside, you see? And Jasmine, the same thing. Jasmine Inn on K&N Island, the same thing. An L right next to it. No room. And Beach Street, with same thing. So that's what you're doing here. You're building things, taking affordable housing. That's the trick with this. These places are cheap to move in. They can live in those places, but they've been taken away from us. So you have AMI. You have places we can live are being gone. So what are you doing for people like me who need a housing? I don't know. You don't, you know, you have these tiers and lists and everything like this. It's not right what you're doing here. And if you can't see it, I see it. I go everywhere in this city that I can see. I see everything. I'm not afraid to walk on and go in buildings or anything here. I've been inside that building, you know, section, Sandy Square. And I know what it looks like inside. Maybe you didn't do it when you opened up, but I went to one of the rooms there. So I know it's not fixed inside. So they look as good right outside, but inside it doesn't look so good. That's what goes on in San Diego. It's always looking good. And if you keep going on with this AMI, no one's going to have affordable housing.
Okay. All right, moving on with the agenda here today, folks, especially for Commissioner Walsh and Commissioner Benvenuto, normally the chair will let you know if there's items that we put on the consent agenda. In this case, you didn't hear from me because we have no items on consent today. They will all be action items. Let's go to the approval of the minutes. The minutes of April 7th have been distributed to the commissioners. Any corrections or deletions to those minutes? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve as presented. I got Commissioner Surdy, second by Commissioner Moraga. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Those minutes are approved as presented. All right, item number 100 today is the proposed fiscal year budget for 2018. And Mr. Davis and Tracy, are you going to handle this staff report? Thank you. Please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Artasin, Vice Chair Surdy, and Commissioners. I'm Jeff Davis, Chief of Staff, and with me is Tracy McDermott, our Chief Financial Officer. Today, I will be providing a brief overview of some of the highlights of the budget, and then Tracy will walk you through the details. So we are very pleased to present to you the proposed FY 2018 budget. This is an ambitious budget, and it reflects actions to expand many of our major programs and add new programs that impact the lives of low-income and homeless individuals in San Diego. Last year, you approved our FY 2017 budget in the amount of $368 million. Today, we will be requesting from you your approval of a $433 million budget. Now, first of all, we want to talk to you and make sure that we assure you that the budget that we are presenting to you today is a conservative budget. It does incorporate figures from the fiscal year 2018 federal budget approved by the House on Wednesday, and by the Senate on, just yesterday. It also reflects the latest fiscal year 2018 federal budget proposals. At this time, it does appear that we may experience a minimal reduction in our Moving to Work funds, which is the largest revenue source for the agency, and that would begin in September. However, due to careful fiscal management, along with our innovative MTW programming, the Housing Commission has been able to carefully accrue the funds that will be utilized in the coming years to support the expanded activities that you will be hearing about today. In addition, please know that our affordable housing properties that we own and manage are expected to continue to perform very well. And it's for these reasons, then, that we present to you confidently the largest budget in the history of the agency. Our expanded activities are primarily in three areas. the rehabilitation and improvements to our agency-owned and managed properties, the continued growth in the number of these units through the acquisition of additional affordable housing properties, and our heightened involvement in the agency's efforts to address homelessness in San Diego. This slide here illustrates for you the expansion of these activities, and you can see that very considerable year over year. So doing more does require additional staff. So we are requesting to hire 26 staff at the agency to support the increased activity. Some of these will be temporary, some permanent. I will go into more detail on these staffing requests towards the end of the presentation. So this ambitious $433 million budget represents a culmination of years of excellent strategic planning and thinking big. And this has been under the direction of this board and our CEO, Rick Gentry. We anticipate in FY2018 a very exciting and productive year for the agency and for the thousands of families that we serve. And Tracy will now walk you through the details.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, Tracy McDermott, Chief Financial Officer. Now let's move on to our objectives and deliverables outlined for 2018 to achieve results in the area just discussed. We kept our mission and our strategic plan in mind while developing our budget. As we continue to provide rental assistance for more than 15,400 families, support is needed for increased specialty programs. We will increase our focus in choice communities and will launch San Diego Housing Commission Moving Home, a rapid rehousing program. To create and preserve affordable housing, we committed more than $27 million to the renovation and comprehensive rehabilitation of the San Diego Housing Commission's owned assets. We also plan to invest $25 million in the acquisition and development of affordable housing units. And of course, we continue to maintain proper oversight of our ever-growing portfolio. Addressing homelessness, we will be launching our next phase of Housing First San Diego, which builds upon the prior accomplishments by assisting individuals to obtain permanent housing. Through this effort, housing opportunities will be made available for up to 3,000 homeless individuals and families over 3 years, with the programs listed on this slide. We will also continue from our Housing First San Diego action plan, such as the Monarch School and the San Diego State University Guardian Scholars Program, and we continue to administer the city homeless shelters and service programs. All of these programs have a significant and positive impact on the numbers of San Diegans at risk of and experiencing homelessness. We will concentrate our efforts on operational efficiencies in order to enhance customer service and effectively maximize our resources. To expand agency-wide private and government funding sources, we have earmarked $10 million to increase production of affordable housing located near transit. Now let's talk about our sources of funds for 2018. This slide summarizes total funding sources for 2018 compared to 2017, which increased by $65 million, primarily for three reasons. First, utilizing the MTW flexibility for acquisition and rehabilitation of affordable housing. Second, additional affordable housing funds of $29 million that will be deployed to achieve our planned objectives. And last, the strategy to set aside real estate reserves to fund future rehabilitation efforts. This slide compares our total funding sources available in 2018 versus 2017. Note in the two little red squares, our federal funding increased by close to $24 million, primarily due to utilization of HUD-held reserves, and local funding increased by just over $41 million. Here's a pie graph of our new revenue for 2018. The blue area represents federal revenue, about 81% of our new revenue for 2018. Now we'll discuss the uses of funds. This is a summary of total uses of 2018 over 2017, which increased by $60 million, primarily due to targeted efforts to acquire and provide financing for the development of affordable housing units, significant homelessness efforts, and the rehabilitation of the San Diego Housing Commission-owned assets. This is a year-over-year comparison of funding uses by major category. This chart depicts total funding uses not including reserves by major division. The Rental Assistance Division, the blue area on the pie chart, is almost half of the funding uses for 2018. Now I will turn this over to Jeff, and he will go over the staffing and homeless highlights.
So this slide represents a summary of staffing year over year and shows changes by the division. In total, with this budget, we are requesting 26 positions be added to the budget. So to break these down for you, 11 of these positions are needed to support the effort to provide permanent housing to San Diegans who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness, as well as to continue to support the Housing Our Heroes initiative. 7 of these positions will support the increased activity of improving our properties, acquiring new affordable properties, and providing property management to an ever-increasing number of families in our units. And 4 of these positions will support the continued growth in our rental assistance department, both through the addition of veteran vouchers, homeless vouchers, and other high-need special population voucher programs. And lastly, 4 of these positions will support the needed increased capacity in our financial services, information technology, and human resource departments. This slide illustrates for you the significant and growing investment the Housing Commission has made toward addressing the growing issue of homelessness in our city. Approval of this budget will make possible the launch of the third phase of Housing First San Diego, and this slide outlines our year one expected expenditures by the major components in 2018, totaling over $28 million. The presentation that will be following this one will go into more detail about these different components. This concludes our presentation. I'd like to thank Tracy and our finance team for their very hard work and dedication that is required to build such a comprehensive budget. And hopefully, not for the last time, we'd like to sincerely thank former Commissioner Spoon for her invaluable guidance and feedback throughout the building of this budget. Staff, Tracy, and I are now available to answer any questions you have.
Good first meeting for Commissioner Benvenuto and Commissioner Walsh to get right into seeing the budget, right, and to kind of see the high-level areas where this organization is making its expenditures and what's going on. It's probably no surprise to you to see that, you know, our efforts into the homeless arena is taking a major step forward, right? 11 new positions that are being proposed here, about $28 million or so in that arena. I mean, that's just a sign of the times of what we're dealing with here. But I think it's a good first meeting for you to see that right away. And so let me open it up to any questions that the commissioners may have. Okay, Commissioner Moraga.
I think Bobby, in her words of wisdom, encapsulated it perfectly earlier. So we have the pieces of the puzzle. It's an aggressive budget and for a good reason. And for that reason, I'd like to move to approve.
Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga. Let me ask a question to Jeff or Tracy. Is there anything in the budget whereby we would have to and may potentially have to adjust mid-year through 18 on this in case of any unanticipated cutbacks at the federal level or what have you? Or do you have all that covered here?
Yeah, the funds that we are using to support these expanded activities have been accrued over the course of the last few years through careful fiscal management and planning. And so we have those funds to do the activities we're talking about. Now, there is a potential, based on some of the figures that are coming out for the FY18 budget, that there could be a minimal reduction in our moving to work funds and maybe some cuts to our smaller funding. But I will remind you that sequestration occurred just a few years ago. That was an across-the-board 5% cut. that really had a traumatic effect on a lot of PHAs, and we were able to really work through that with very little impact to any operations or any clients.
Okay, thank you. And then on the 26 positions that you're requesting, have you explored any other ways of being able to fulfill those positions from existing staff? I know that these are incremental positions that you're asking for here, but have you guys explored the opportunity to be able to fill them with existing staff?
Absolutely, and I'm asking you to believe me here, but we run a very lean organization. So when we bring in some pretty robust new programming, for us to be able to do it effectively, we need to bring in more resources.
Okay. Any other questions from the commissioners? I have a motion by Commissioner Moraga, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion on this? Thank you for the staff report. Pretty straightforward. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, Commissioner, ex-Commissioner Spoon. Thank you very much, ex-Chair Gramling. Thank you very much for helping us out with preparing for the 18 budget. Okay. Let's move on to item 101. This is the Homeless Housing Originating Department. Is the Homeless Housing Innovations Department. And Mr. Gentry, who's going to handle this staff report? Okay, Melissa, you have the floor.
Good morning, Chair Tassin, Vice Chair Surdy, Commissioners. My name is Melissa Peterman. I'm the Vice President of Homeless Housing Innovations. And with me today is Erica Snyder, the Director of Homeless Housing Innovations. This morning, we're requesting approval to expand the use of funds previously approved last year for the Housing Our Heroes initiative to provide housing opportunities to homeless veterans. The expanded use of these funds beyond homeless veterans to all subpopulations experiencing homelessness will build upon the success we've experienced thus far through Housing Our Heroes. The expansion is part of the next phase of Housing First San Diego, the Commission's Homelessness Action Plan, which was presented to the board as a workshop last month. We'll also present today a brief overview of our next proposed phase of Housing First San Diego. And our presentation will include an important context for the actions we are recommending today. Addressing homelessness remains a significant challenge in the city of San Diego. As Mr. Gentry noted earlier this morning, on April 20th of this year, results from the 2017 point in time count, an annual census of homeless individuals and families, showed a 5% increase in homelessness throughout the region. Of the total homeless population in the county, 62% are within the city of San Diego, and that's a total of 5,619 men, women, and children experiencing homelessness on any given night in San Diego. The bright spot in these numbers is the continued decrease in the number of veterans without a place to call home. Since 2013, veteran homelessness has decreased 29%, with the remaining 1,054 veterans experiencing homelessness in San Diego on any given night. Concentrated efforts to create permanent housing opportunities for veterans that utilize the Housing First model, such as Housing Our Heroes and the Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Voucher Program, help to explain the success and provide a model for how to achieve similar results for all populations experiencing homelessness. And what we need is to make data-driven decisions to ensure we utilize more of the right type of resources. And this brings us to the proposed new initiatives of Housing First San Diego. The foundation we've built through the first 3 years of this action plan has helped us put together a proposed expansion of programs and funding to address the needs of up to 3,000 homeless individuals and families over the next 3 years through 6 programs. An estimated $78.7 million will be directed to support homeless prevention and diversion services to reduce the inflow of newly homeless individuals and families to our community. Coordinated street outreach to help maximize existing efforts, identify gaps within the system, and provide centralized triage for outreach needs. Expanded landlord engagement, which Erica will provide further detail on in today's presentation. Additional rapid rehousing assistance to help situationally homeless individuals and families obtain and maintain permanent housing through light case management and short-term rental subsidies. New permanent supportive housing through the creation of 500 units, and the introduction of a moving on rental assistance program to free up scarce capacity within permanent supportive housing for those individuals who have stabilized but still require long-term rental assistance. These programs, we anticipate, will continue to have a significant and positive impact on the numbers of San Diegans at risk of and experiencing homelessness. Over the three-year period, the proposed programs will enhance San Diego's current homeless assistance system by housing 3,000 individuals in permanent units, reducing the inflow of newly homeless individuals by 1,050, and developing up to 500 new permanent supportive housing units. The focus of today's presentation is on one specific program of these proposed new initiatives, and that is expanded landlord engagement. And I'll now turn it over to Erica, who will walk us through the details.
Thank you, Melissa, and good morning, commissioners. Currently, the city has a historically low rental vacancy rate, and this is creating a highly competitive rental market, as I'm sure many of you are already aware. Since many individuals experience homelessness, have additional barriers, such as a limited income or inadequate credit, they experience extreme challenges in identifying and securing housing. Through an expansion of the Landlord Outreach Program of the Housing Our Heroes Initiative, the San Diego Housing Commission will increase the number of available privately owned rentals for all individuals experiencing homelessness. This will be done by mitigating the perceived risk property owners encounter that may keep them from opening their units to those experiencing homelessness. Our staff will work closely at each phase of the housing placement process with landlords, supportive service providers, and of course, the homeless individuals and families. In the three-year period of the program, the estimated budget for landlord engagement totals $6.6 million and includes City Inclusionary, San Diego Housing Commission real estate, and low-income housing funds. Of this total, approximately $4.4 million would be funded by the expanded use of funds from the sale of Hotel Metro and the ground lease of San Diego Square. The major elements of this collaborative program can be broken down into two categories: landlord incentives and landlord benefits, each aimed to increase housing opportunities for those experiencing homelessness. Providing housing for homeless veterans needs to make sense financially for landlords, and we recognize this. That is why the program includes landlord benefits such as incentive payments, a contingency fund, and assistance for security deposits. Landlords receive $500 for the first unit rented.
You're real proud of it. You're just going to say it again.
I want to say it again. Landlords receive $500 for the first unit rented and $250 for each subsequent unit. In addition, funds have been set aside to help landlords cover expenses, such as repairs that exceed security deposits upon move-out, or to cover rent due to unforeseen vacancies. Additional benefits include covering the security deposit and utility or rental arrears assistance, and other types of financial assistance, such as covering the cost of credit checks and application fees. Also, we have a dedicated 24-hour hotline available when urgent issues may arise. Or when there's a real risk of eviction, our team is available to help mitigate these concerns or problems and intervene to prevent these issues from escalating. Lastly, households assisted through this program will receive ongoing case management services, so each of them is well supported during their tenancy. The case manager really acts as a coach for the tenant, and they regularly check in with them while they're housed through our program, and they act as a resource to both the tenant and the landlord. And while each of these is certainly a benefit to the landlord, it's also a benefit to the homeless individuals. Everything on this list aims to reduce as many barriers as possible to get these families into stable housing.
And that brings us to our requested actions this morning. On March 1st last year, the Housing Authority and City Council followed the recommendation of this board and approved the use of funds from the sale of Hotel Metro and ground lease on San Diego Square to support Housing Our Heroes. Today, staff is requesting the Housing Commission Board recommend the Housing Authority and City Council expand use of those funds to the proposed landlord engagement services under Housing First San Diego Phase 3. That would include expanding from homeless veterans to all homeless subpopulations. Approval of today's recommendation allows an amendment to the existing resolutions, maintains the use for landlord engagement under Housing First San Diego, but expands the beneficiaries of that program to any San Diegan at risk of or experiencing homelessness. The balance of funds from Housing Our Heroes is already included in what is now the approved by this board to be soon approved by the Housing Authority fiscal year 18 budget for the Housing Commission. And this concludes our report. Erica and I are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, I direct my comments really to Commissioner Walsh and Commissioner Benevido. These are examples of where this organization innovates and addresses an issue or a need out there in the community and comes up with programs to address those in a very entrepreneurial way, in an innovative way. The market is real tight out there, the rental market, and to be able to take on housing 1,000 homeless veterans and getting the private sector to cooperate with you takes some innovation and special approach to it. And so this is an example of it. The success that we've achieved on that front now, we are looking to expand beyond that. So that's what this is about here. Let me open it up to any questions that you may have. Yes, Commissioner Davis.
Yes, hello. I probably should know this, but I don't. I've been asked by at least two different landlords just this past week, what is the easiest way to get a hold of someone to find out about this program immediately?
Absolutely. That would be our hotline, and the phone number is 619-578-7768, or they could email housingourheroes@sdhc.org.
Okay. Thank you very
much. Is that on our website, Erica?
Yes, it is.
Perfect.
So it's actually on our landing page. You can click on it where you see the numbers that we've housed. You click on that, and it takes it to all the subsequent information.
Perfect. All right. Any other questions? Clearly a successful model that we're looking to expand beyond what just for the homeless veterans program. Commissioner Braga? I got a motion by Commissioner, second by Commissioner Surdy. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 103 is final bond authorization for Park and Market. I see Debbie coming up. Take it away.
Good morning, Chair Tassin, Commissioners, Debbie Ruain. I'd like to introduce Ted Miyahara, who I am very proud to announce is our newest Vice President.
Congratulations.
Ted has worked extremely hard on some of the most complex real estate transactions I think you'll find anywhere in the city. He has been groomed by Ann Kern, and without her tutelage and guidance, I don't think Ted would be ready at this young age to do this, but he is tremendous. So I'm going to turn it over to him, and we've got a couple of request for you today.
Thank you, Mr. Miyahara. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Special welcome to our new Commissioners. Item 102 recommends the disposition of a Housing Commission asset, Village North Senior. Staff is recommending authorization to enter into a 65-year ground lease, authorization for the Executive Vice President and Chief of Staff or designee to implement these approvals, and transfer the property reserve balance to the lessee for Village North Senior. Oh. There we go. There's the recommendations. So the development is a 120-unit senior project located in Claremont Mesa. The project was built in 1986, and the two-story walk-up buildings sit on approximately 1.4 acres. The Housing Commission acquired the development in 2015 with U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Move to Work funds. The approval included rehabbing the property with debt and equity. Staff is recommending that we ground lease the asset to Housing Development Partners, also known as HDP. HDP is a nonprofit affiliate of the Housing Commission. They were created in 1990. They own and operate approximately 1,100 units. We propose to use HDP because they are our affiliate and their staff has the experience and expertise to complete the rehab. The HDP will do a great job repositioning the property. Two of their projects are right out the window, San Diego Square and Hotel Churchill. The disposition is pursuant to policy number 300.104. Housing Commission staff has ensured that we are in full compliance with the policy, including but not limited to attorney review, financial advisor review, appraisal. We've engaged a relocation consultant, and we ensured that the terms of the ground lease are consistent with other assets in our portfolio. Terms of the ground lease include a 65-year ground lease. Annual payments will be equivalent to 4.5% of gross income. There's also provisions in the agreement that will provide for termination clauses and also the right to reacquire the site after the 15th year. HDP will be responsible for refinancing the asset and renovating the property. The Housing Commission is not providing any financing for this transaction. The Housing Commission will continue to provide property management services and oversee the operations of the asset. We will also transfer approximately $2 million in property reserves for renovation. This is a HUD requirement. We can't keep that $2 million, so we're transferring it over to HDP to be used for the rehab. In addition to the HUD reserves, HDP will borrow approximately $9 million to reposition the property. They will invest approximately $7.6 million for property improvements. This is a 30-year-old asset that requires capital improvements. The scope of work includes kitchens, baths, windows, ADA upgrades to the site and units, new roofs, and replacement of major building systems. In addition, $3.6 million will go towards soft costs such as architecture, engineering, temporary relocation, legal and financing costs, reserves, and developer fee. Rehabbing the property will bring the improvements up to a Housing Commission standard. It will also ensure the long-term viability of the asset for years to come. I want to point out that the acquisition in 2015 was part of Housing First San Diego. We currently have 44 units dedicated to serving the homeless. In addition, I want the record to reflect and the report to reflect that our financial advisor determined that the proposed debt execution is best fit for the project and does not cause any unnecessary financial burden to HDP or the Housing Commission. I'd like to open it up for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Miyahara. I incorrectly said this was item 103. It's obviously item 102. Let me a couple questions. If I remember correctly, the 44 units that we have allocated to serving homeless, that was for seniors, was it not?
That's correct.
That's for seniors, right. Okay. And then what do we estimate the I know you indicated you have about a $3 million allocation of soft costs, which include the relocations. What do you estimate from your consultant on what the relocation expenses will be? While you're researching that, commissioners, I'll open it up to any questions that you may have. Oh, I see it here. It's the temporary relocation and the relocation study at $530,000.
That's right. Yeah, 480 plus 50. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. All right, very good. All right, any questions, any thoughts, comments? Okay, thank you very much for the staff report. Hearing none, I have no other speakers on this. I'll entertain a motion.
So,
Commissioner Cerdy, I have a motion by Commissioner Cerdy. Second by Commissioner Hubbard. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Now, item 103, the final bond authorization for Park and Market.
Ted Miyahara and Debbie Ruane again. This is the final bond authorization for Park and Market. The recommendations include authorizing the issuance for up to $216,500,000 in tax-exempt bonds and recommendation that the City Council hold a Tax Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing. If approved, this will be the largest bond issuance the Housing Authority has authorized. I would just like to remind the Board that the Housing Authority is a conduit issuer. The state is responsible for allocating the bonds, the Housing Authority for issuing the bonds, and the developer is on the hook for repayment of the bonds. There is no financial liability to the City Housing Authority or Housing Commission. There is no pledge of the faith, credit, or taxing power of the city, and revenues generated by the project will be used to repay the bonds.
And if I may interject, the real estate division wants to give a presentation to the board on the tax credits, the TEFRA, the Tax Equity Responsibility Fiscal Act, bonds. It's a complicated financial mechanism, and we want you to understand how that works. Our team is going to be working diligently to put together a presentation for you so that future deals will have more familiarity with you, and we use some of the acronyms we do.
Thank you, Debbie. Commissioners, this is something Mr. Gentry and I discussed, and these are key rules of what we do here at the Housing Commission. And so it's I think it would be very beneficial for all of us to be able to hear that and to get a better understanding and appreciation for how we go about these two main functions here.
It's a good exercise for staff, too, because we're frequently asked to summarize how these deals are structured. So we're happy to do it for you, and we'll probably be doing it for all the new city council offices as well as the IBA.
Okay, very good. Questions?
Oh.
Yes, Mr. Mihara?
I can continue if you'd like.
Please.
So this is a city-owned asset. The city will be selling the land to the developer. And the terms and conditions of the development are pursuant to the disposition and development agreement with the city. As you can see, it's a full city block. The development is a 34-story high-rise mixed-use development designed by Carrier Johnson. It's a beautiful building. It includes 426 residential units. 85 of those units will be affordable for folks at 50% of the area median income. Unit mixes studios, 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. The development will also include 23,000 square feet of retail, 52,000 square feet of office, and the historic rehab of the Remen House. Holland Partner Group, LLC, and North American Sekisui House are co-developing the project. This is a very qualified development team. Holland has a 30,000 unit portfolio, and Nash is Japan's largest home builder. This is a true 80-20 deal. 80% of the units will be market. The remaining 20 will be affordable. The city required that 15% of the project be affordable. However, the developer decided that it was to their advantage to take credits and bonds, which requires 20% of the project to be affordable at 50% AMI. This is not your typical affordable housing development unit. Developments of this type, especially downtown, the developers opt to pay the inclusionary fee versus building the units. The city mandated that the affordable units be built. Point being, this is an amazing opportunity for future residents, and these types of opportunities do not come up very often. Total development cost for the mixed-use project is approximately $283 million. The cost of the residential portion of the project is approximately $238 million. Downtown infill high-rise development is expensive. This is the cost to build high-rise market-rate product. The affordable units are no different than the market-rate units in the development. TDC per unit is approximately $558,000. The project is subject to prevailing wages. It will be designed LEED Silver. It's highly amenitized, and it's going to take 3 years to build. The next slide is the unit mix and proposed rents. The affordable rents will be restricted to 50% of the area median income. Affordable rents are well under market, in some cases a quarter of what the market rate rent would be for a tenant. Affordable rents will be restricted for a 55-year term. The developer proposes to start construction next month and complete the project in the summer of 2020. Representatives from Civic San Diego and Holland Partner Group are here today in the audience, and I'll open it up for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Miyahara. 85 units to the inventory of affordable housing is a big deal. Before I open it up to the commissioners, I have a request to speak from Mr. Philip Williams. If you'd like to address the commission, sir, welcome.
Good morning, Chair Erdison and members of the commission. My name is Philip Williams. I'm the development director for Holland Partner Group, and we're pleased to be here today to notify you of our intent to start construction on the project next month. And as Ted had mentioned, we're really excited about the project because we were able to get tax-exempt bonds as well as low-income housing tax credits allocated to the project. And those were granted to the project in March of this year. And since then, we've been working feverishly with our all the legal folks who have been involved in the project trying to get all the documents in place. And as Ted had mentioned, this is a pretty rare opportunity for affordable apartments in a high-rise condo or apartment situation. We did the right thing by putting at least one affordable unit on every floor. So if you can imagine, on the 34th floor, the penthouse level, we're going to have one unit that's going to be a two-bedroom, two-level penthouse unit.
Wow.
Renting out at whatever our affordable rent is, next to a market rate household that will probably be paying close to $8,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So we're, I think it'll be interesting to see how the neighborhood dynamics work.
Yeah.
We're committed to doing this, and we're glad to be here today.
Congratulations to you guys. This is very innovative, and I applaud you for that, on how you laid it out as well. Any questions for Mr. Williams? Thank you for being here today, sir. Appreciate that. Okay, commissioners, any questions? Park and Market, big deal for our downtown area, big deal for our inventory of affordable housing. Any questions from staff? Mr. Gentry.
Just my public congratulations to Mr. Vice President, our newest one. Ted's done a wonderful job on this, reflects the work. The fine work comes out of Debbie's shop. And I think although this is the largest deal that this organization's ever considered and is unique in a lot of respects, in a lot of respects it's not. There's the complexity here of the true whether it's 50 million, 20 million, 200 million. A lot of the same issues are involved. And as Debbie indicated, we will do a full workshop for this board at a later date on both the way the tax credit program works, the way bond financing works, and the way the other financial structures here work. But I just wanted to thank Ted, thank Debbie, thank the entire department for putting together what is a fine proposal here.
Yes, Ms. White.
If I may, I would also like to say that we're working very closely with Chuck Christensen right now on promoting our 80-20 model. We are interested as a city in seeing more 80% market, 20% affordable. We think it's a very good, naturally inclusive way to blend communities. And this is an example of how it's being done without Housing Commission money. So this is a tremendous opportunity, and we hope to see more in the city of San Diego if we prevail with Assembly Bill 1637 next week.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry.
You just amplified. This reflects one of the goals that you all set for me last year, and that is to get the state law changed to allow the Housing Commission greater flexibility in pursuing workforce housing, modern income housing. And Todd Gloria has introduced a bill in Sacramento that would give this agency the ability to move upward from our current limits of 80% of median to 150% of median to work with families and individuals who were above what we ordinarily would see as our customer base. We're working through some political issues on that, on some folks who don't think we should increase our limits. And we'll find out whether that bill passes in current form this year or not, but we are optimistic and that would give us additional flexibilities like this going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. All right. Okay, Commissioners, any questions? Yes, Commissioner Hubbard.
I just want to say this is really groundbreaking. I think I can't wait to see it unfold. It's a great job on this project and motion to move.
Thank you. I'll accept that as a motion from you. Any further discussion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Benvenuto, so I'll take a second from you. Any further comments? Staff, thank you very much for that presentation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Big deal. Congratulations, Mr. Williams. Thank you for being here with us today. Commissioners, that concludes the items on our agenda for today. Again, I want to welcome Commissioner Benvenuto and Commissioner Walsh to the commission. Our meeting is now adjourned.